3. At Corinth. By the time they reached Corinth, Gannon was becoming very much interested in the Jewish religion. And so it was not strange that, one day as they passed the synagogue and saw the people going in, he requested Jesus to take him to the service. That day they heard a learned rabbi discourse on the destiny of Israel. And after the service they met one Crispus, the chief ruler of this synagogue. Many times they went back to the synagogue services, but chiefly to meet Crispus. Gannon grew to be very fond of Crispus, his wife, and their family of 5 children. He much enjoyed observing how a Jew conducted his family life. While Gannon studied family life, Jesus was teaching Crispus the better ways of religious living. Jesus held more than 20 sessions with this forward-looking Jew, and it is not surprising, years afterward, when Paul was preaching in this very synagogue, and when the Jews had rejected his message and had voted to forbid his further preaching in the synagogue, and when he then went to the Gentiles, that Crispus with his entire family embraced the new religion, and that he became one of the chief supports of the Christian church which Paul subsequently organized at Corinth. During the 18 months Paul preached in Corinth, being later joined by Silas and Timothy, he met many others who had been taught by the Jewish tutor of the son of an Indian merchant. At Corinth they met people of every race hailing from 3 continents. Next to Alexandria and Rome, it was the most cosmopolitan city of the Mediterranean Empire. There was much to attract one's attention in this city, and Gannon never grew weary of visiting the citadel which stood almost 2,000 feet above the sea. He also spent a great deal of his spare time about the synagogue and in the home of Crispus. He was at first shocked, and later on charmed, by the status of woman in the Jewish home. It was a revelation to this young Indian. Jesus and Gannon were often guests in another Jewish home, that of Justus, a devout merchant, who lived alongside the synagogue. And many times, subsequently, when the Apostle Paul sojourned in this home, did he listen to the recounting of these visits with the Indian lad and his Jewish tutor. While both Paul and Justus wondered whatever became of such a wise and brilliant Hebrew teacher. When in Rome, Gannon observed that Jesus refused to accompany them to the public baths. Several times afterward the young man sought to induce Jesus further to express himself in regard to the relations of the sexes. Though he would answer the lad's questions, he never seemed disposed to discuss these subjects at great length. One evening as they strolled about Corinth out near where the wall of the citadel ran down to the sea, they were accosted by 2 public women. Gannon had imbibed the idea, and rightly, that Jesus was a man of high ideals, and that he abhorred everything which partook of uncleanness or savored of evil. Accordingly he spoke sharply to these women and rudely motioned them away. When Jesus saw this, he said to Gannon, "You mean well, but you should not presume thus to speak to the children of God, even though they chance to be his erring children. Who are we that we should sit in judgment on these women? Do you happen to know all of the circumstances which led them to resort to such methods of obtaining a livelihood? Stop here with me while we talk about these matters." The courtesans were astonished at what he said even more than was Gannon. As they stood there in the moonlight, Jesus went on to say, "There lives within every human mind a divine spirit, the gift of the Father in heaven. This good spirit ever strives to lead us to God, to help us to find God and to know God, but also within mortals there are many natural physical tendencies which the Creator put there to serve the well-being of the individual and the race. Now, oftentimes, Men and women become confused in their effort to understand themselves and to grapple with the manifold difficulties of making a living in a world so largely dominated by selfishness and sin. I perceive, Ganad, that neither of these women is willfully wicked. I can tell by their faces that they have experienced much sorrow. They have suffered much at the hands of an apparently cruel fate. They have not intentionally chosen this sort of life. They have, in discouragement bordering on despair, surrendered to the pressure of the hour and accepted this distasteful means of obtaining a livelihood as the best way out of a situation that to them appeared hopeless. Ganad, some people are really wicked at heart. They deliberately choose to demean things. But, tell me, as you look into these now tear-stained faces, do you see anything bad or wicked? And as Jesus paused for his reply, Ganad's voice choked up as he stammered out his answer. No, teacher, I do not. And I apologize for my rudeness to them. I crave their forgiveness. Then said Jesus, and I bespeak for them that they have forgiven you as I speak for my Father in heaven that he has forgiven them. Now all of you come with me to a friend's house where we will seek refreshment and plan for the new and better life ahead. Up to this time the amazed women had not uttered a word. They looked at each other and silently followed as the men led the way. Imagine the surprise of Jesus' wife when, at this late hour, Jesus appeared with Ganad and these two strangers, saying, "You will forgive us for coming at this hour. But Ganad and I desire a bite to eat, and we would share it with these our new, found friends, who are also in need of nourishment. And besides all this, we come to you with the thought that you will be interested in counseling with us as to the best way to help these women get a new start in life. They can tell you their story, but I surmise they have had much trouble. And their very presence here in your house testifies how earnestly they crave to know good people. And how willingly they will embrace the opportunity to show all the world, and even the angels of heaven, what brave and noble women they can become." When Martha, Jesus' wife, had spread the food on the table, Jesus, taking unexpected leave of them, said, "As it is getting late, and since the young man's father will be awaiting us, we pray to be excused while we leave you here together, three women, the beloved children of the Most High. And I will pray for your spiritual guidance while you make plans for a new and better life on earth and eternal life in the great beyond." Thus did Jesus and Ganad take leave of the women. So far the two courtesans had said nothing. Likewise was Ganad speechless. And for a few moments so was Martha. But presently she rose to the occasion and did everything for these strangers that Jesus had hoped for. The elder of these two women died a short time thereafter, with bright hopes of eternal survival, and the younger woman worked at Jesus' place of business and later became a lifelong member of the First Christian Church in Corinth. Several times in the home of Crispus, Jesus and Ganad met one Gaius, who subsequently became a loyal supporter of Paul. During these 2 months in Corinth they held intimate conversations with scores of worthwhile individuals. And as a result of all these apparently casual contacts more than half of the individuals so affected became members of the subsequent Christian community. When Paul first went to Corinth, he had not intended to make a prolonged visit. But he did not know how well the Jewish tutor had prepared the way for his labors. And further, he discovered that great interest had already been aroused by Aquila and Priscilla, Aquila being one of the cynics with whom Jesus had come in contact when in Rome. This couple were Jewish refugees from Rome, and they quickly embraced Paul's teachings. He lived with them and worked with them, for they were also tent makers. It was because of these circumstances that Paul prolonged his stay in Corinth.